找宝。
On this episode, Zach Schneitzer from the Bomber Podcast joins the show to let us know what the defending champs look like, plus the aftermath of the first season game, and a look to Friday night in Guelph for the second preseason game. Crack those cold ones at the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast on Twitter and Instagram, and anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. Joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com, the VP of Football Operations, and our in-house Blue Jays play-by-play man, Will Gertler, MBA.
Good evening, everybody. You can find me on the Twitter machine at ArgoFans. Or join us at www.argofans.com.
You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Morning, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, the Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/Double Blue Order, on Twitter at Double Blue Order, on Instagram at The Double Blue Order, and Double Blue Order merch still available and will be for quite some time, doubleblueorder.ca, including off room t-shirts. I did mention
the
law firm t-shirt.
Yeah. Unfortunately, our sounds just crashed on me, so.
Put it in post.
The first thing we got to get out of our way so we don't have to talk about it anymore. The owners and the players came to an agreement.
Hallelujah.
CBA has been ratified by, now officially by the Board of Governors, and if they were to not ratify this,
it would be a national tragedy.
Yeah. And it only garnered a two sentence press release on CFL.ca.
Tempus habemus, is that what it was?
Put that all behind us.
Yes, let's put that all behind us. Thankfully, there was no more stoppage in play apart from a couple canceled practices, but we got the preseason games in this week, and the Argos didn't win, but it's preseason, so doesn't really matter, especially when you're trotting out only minimal starters and the other team has literally got everybody and their dog dressed to play.
Woof.
Stats in the game, Chad Kelly, 7 of 12, 58%, 78 yards. Antonio Pipkin, 7 of 9 for 60 yards. And Austin Simmons, 2 of 6 for 19 yards. Both Pipkin and Simmons had a interception on there.
It's really their fault.
No. Rushing the ball, Javon Leak led the way with 6 carries, 33 yards, and a touchdown. Daniel Adeboye added 4 carries, 16 yards. Pipkin and Kelly and Simmons also ran a little bit. AJ Ouellette had 2 carries for 8 yards, and Ansel Robo 1 carry, 3 yards.
Doesn't matter for him either.
No.
We'll get to that.
Receiving wise, AJ Richardson caught a couple balls. Isaiah Wright, AJ Willette, DeMonte Coxie, Markeith Ambles, Drez Anderson, Chandler Worthy. A lot of people caught balls. Jamari Hester, Cameron Phillips, Ernest Edwards.
They really spread it around.
Yeah. Yeah, several people caught balls. Toshiki Sato did our field goal kicking. It was 1-for-1.
He also did kickoffs, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad on them either.
No.
As a matter of fact, during the game, I was telling the keeping the Inside Japan account up to date with all this stuff.
Punting wise, we saw one hell of a 64-yard kick that rolled out at the one by John Haggerty. It's preseason, so we really don't need the good, the bad, and the ugly. But what stood out for you guys in this game?
Well, the Argos really didn't put up many yards on offense, did they? I don't think the passing game really was not terribly effective, but I think that was a product, too, of the offensive line really didn't allow much rhythm. Defensively, I thought, you know, they were Mazzoli did move the ball on them, but they were playing a real one of those preseason soft cushions.
Yeah.
All in all, I guess I was, you know, preseason or not, I was a bit disappointed with defensive effort after Jamal Peters pick six. They allowed the Red Blacks, I guess it's his third or fourth stringer, lead two touchdown drives to put the game away for them. So again, not a big deal because preseason, but still disappointed in that effort at the end.
Yeah, and that quarterback that they had in there at the end of the game made Brandon Banks look jacked. But they were RJ Harris left, RJ Harris right, RJ Harris left, RJ Harris right in that last drive anyway.
Yeah. And it's actually, well, we'll talk about this later, but it's noteworthy that more than one of the cuts, I believe, were on the field for those last couple of drives.
Doug, what did you notice in this game?
To me, it was kind of a pedestrian effort from the Argos, but I didn't expect much of anything else, especially when we're resting just about all the starters. That John Haggerty's boot, though, holy crap. when I saw him in practice and he was launching him, I'm like, if he could carry this over to game situations, this is going to be good. And, I mean, yeah, it's only preseason, but he was able to carry it over into a game situation. And, I mean average of 53.2 yards, his longest 64. Come on. Average of 43. That's pretty darn good.
Yep. I didn't expect a ton out of Chad Kelly. He looked like he's got a ton of upside. Couple throws a little bit long. They were a little bit shorter. Great. But oh man, can he literally he literally fired a cannon on a couple of those passes.
Man, one of those passes, I swear, I thought it was going to get lodged in the cage of the player.
There was another one that he threw right over the middle that if he does not throw the ball like it's a goddamn space shuttle taking off through the defenders over the middle, it doesn't hit the receiver. Like that, in 95% of quarterbacks, That should be an interception right there. So I was, you know, like I didn't expect, he looked like he's got a massive upside, but he still made some rookie mistakes. But dude has a lot of upside.
And as it turns out, the team
also felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I, like you guys, thought that the defense was, you know, a little bit pedestrian, but, you know, it is a preseason defense, and they were, you know, looking to figure some guys out, and, well, that they did.
Robbie Smith has a motor. He just got to be able to finish.
Yeah. So on Sunday, the Argos made their first round of cuts. They let go 10 players. We mentioned Antonio Pipkin was gone. Trustin Dekou, offensive lineman Jake Foshi, linebacker Solomon Ajayi, linebacker Brady Sheldon, wide receiver Chandler Worthy, wide receiver Drez Anderson, D-line Kendall Futrell, kicker Toshiki Sato, and fullback Osnell Robo.
Robo.
You know, I was on that list. You know, yeah, there's part of me that I didn't want to see the kid from Japan go, but that was more personal than his skill.
That was inevitable once Haggerty had. I think the intention on Friday was to determine if Haggerty could have a great day punting, that pushes the Argos more towards their idea of having Beattie kick and Haggerty punt. Yep. I think maybe if Haggerty had struggled a little bit more, Sato may have had a stay in his execution. But once Haggerty had that big performance, I think unfortunately the writing was on the wall for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the writing was on the wall for a while for that one, just based on what we've seen in practice. Antonio Pipkin kind of surprised me, but didn't really surprise me.
Well,
he's had a couple of years in the system. Obviously, they see probably that he's not like improving, and Chad Kelly has been essentially leapfrogged him.
Yep.
So
I figure that they must have figured that they get the same value out of Kelly as the number two than Pipkin. I mean, yes, we're knock on wood and an unfortunate injury away from Chad Kelly as the starter, but would Antonio Pipkin really have been able to go out there to win any ball games was also a legitimate question.
Yeah, and then you also have to look at the option, you know, whether you want somebody as your number two who is, you know, completely different type of quarterback, or whether you want somebody who is who can play the same type of game as your starter. And I think Chad Kelly can play a lot more the style of law firm than Pipkin can, and he just showed more promise there. For me, once I saw that game, I figured Pipkin was probably on the outs. His passes still seemed behind people a lot. So, but that's my eye seeing things, right?
He wasn't terrible, but
no. But he completed some of these passes, some of these nice easy passes, stuff like that. But when you see constantly the receiver having to adjust a little bit to where the ball would be, you know, they've passed that point, you know, that's got to tell you something. But, you know, there I go, you know, channeling my inner Ben Grant there. Trustin Dekou and Chandler Worthy.
Wow. Dekou had a rough game.
Yeah.
Very rough.
Got ran over by Jackson Bennett a few times. Missed a couple of tackles on the drive before. And I know that I liked what I saw. You know, Tavares McFadden had an interception. Maurice Carnell the fourth had a pass breakup. So numbers were getting tight for Tristan there.
Yep, and Tristan probably makes more than they do.
Yeah.
So you go if you can get
He's still on the rookie contract, though, yeah. Right? Only second year guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chandler Worthy just...
Meh.
He didn't show enough in that game to warrant them going, yeah, we need two of these guys. Right? You've got Brandon Banks as your, you know, little speed guy.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need two of them, and they've got a bunch of good receivers in camp, so...
Well, they still got to figure out the returner. D'Angelo Amos had a fumble on...
I was honestly shocked that he wasn't on this cut list, but...
Well, I mean, his brother's on the team too, right? So...
Yeah.
Plus, they had him... it's interesting, right? Because they have to figure out... D'Angelo's position on the depth chart was... behind Chris Edwards, and of course the Argos have to figure out where they're going to we have to figure out who's going to play Edwards' spot for the games he's suspended.
Yep. Well, with that, I think we've kind of gone about as far as we can with that.
Reese McGuire.
I'm actually hearing the play-by-play over the bloody thing.
Are you?
Yes.
Let me turn it down a little bit.
Oh, well, I think it's time to bring on our guest, first-time guest, joining us from the Bomber Podcast, Zach Schneitzer.
Oh, you're so close. So close. And I didn't expect you to get it because it's a weird name. Schnitzer.
Schnitzer.
Yeah, Schnitzer. Sorry, I should have corrected Clay when he said Schneid. No, it's not. It's Schnitzer.
But you know what? Schnitzer, like on the scale of like mispronouncing, that's not a bad one because at least it's not like it. I could tell you off air some bad ones I've gotten. Anyway, I'll take Schnitzer. It's actually kind of doesn't sound quite as bad as Schnitzer. But anyway, you guys don't want to talk about my last name.
Yes. All right. Well, I just think about it like you pronounce the last name like it's the food. So schnitzel.
Well, that's Schnitzler, that's schnitzel. Like that's I'll take schnitzel because it's delicious.
Oh, same here. All the time.
It's so good.
We got where I live, we got Oktoberfest. We get great schnitzel out here during that time of year.
Where do you live?
I live in Kitchener, actually. It's about an hour away from Toronto.
I was going to say, of course, because it used to be called New Berlin, right? Yeah, didn't think I'd know that.
Well, no, actually, did you know that they had a Canadian football team at one point, though, too?
No.
They did. They actually had Hall of Famer Cookie Gilchrist on the team.
No way. Weren't they called the Dutchman something?
Yeah, the Kitchener Dutchman, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I had no idea.
Last team, last...
Jacobs, right? You got to get onto the St. Jacobites.
Yeah, they were the last semi-professional team to challenge for a Grey Cup, and they got and it was the semi-final, and they got pantsed by the Eskimos.
Boo!
Yeah, they completely obliterated the ORFU that season. Went into the Grey Cup playoffs, and then the Elks just pants, or rather the Eskimos just pantsed them.
Too bad. That's a great story though. Like, there's a bunch of different CFL teams that are defunct, eh? That like the start, like who was it? There's a bunch like the Tammany Tigers and the Winnipeg Pegs and the Maroons. Anyway,
Balmy Beachers for the win.
So the Balmy, that's right. I know you're supposed to introduce me, but so there's which this is all audio, guys. So which one of you is in Kitchener?
That's Doug. That's me.
Oh, that's Doug. Okay.
Yeah.
Doug's in Kitchener, and then. Will and Clay are in the Big Smoke. Is that right?
Well, I'm just outside the Big Smoke in Georgetown.
He's in the burbs.
Yeah. Who's in Georgetown?
That'd be Clay.
Clay's in Georgetown. I've never even heard of George. Like the what are they? The Hoyas or whatever?
No, yeah.
I'm in Thornhill.
Yep. Hey, buddy, I lived in Thornhill.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Where'd you live?
I was off Center Street on Rose Green, my friend.
Okay, yeah, I'm on, I'm just like 5 minutes west of Promenade.
Oh, I worked at the Promenade. I don't know if your listeners give two SH somethings about this, but I worked at the Promenade when I went to York for a year. I followed a girlfriend there, and that didn't last, but I worked at a shoe store at the Promenade. For a year. What was it called? Scarpino's.
I swear half the mall's empty now, so.
It is, eh? Oh, that's too bad. It was hopping back in the day.
Oh, yeah. The security guards weren't happy when we loitered.
Security guards are never happy when there's loitering.
Yeah.
Be lucky you don't take a sled in and slide down the escalators.
Can I just interject that full disclosure to you and your listeners, because I have to talk about it later with bombing, but like I'm watching the pregame show, and Drew Brown is absolutely shredding the Riders defense.
Yes, he is.
It's incredible to watch. Dalton Schoen just almost got to the goal, their first and goal.
He had one ugly screen pass early in the drive, but
shredding them
right now.
Oh, he just threw another swing pass to who's 17
preseason.
McIlvaine. He's supposed to be good, McIlvaine. I don't know. Are the Riders starting their number one defense? I sure hope so, but I don't think they are.
Probably not.
I doubt it.
That would be incredible if Drew Brown shredded the number one Riders defense on the road after 4 days rest. I don't recognize
a lot of these names.
No. Like,
I think Micah Tights has gone on the sixth game, though, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. No way. Eh? That's big.
Yeah.
Anyway, I should get out of your way, guys. You guys take over.
Let's get this back on track.
You know what, though? Zach, it's rare that when we're recording this, there's an actual game
Yes.
So. Yeah. We're kind of live.
We'll probably go back and forth between this game a couple times.
Well, it's better than Will going off on the Blue Jays all the time. Well, the whole show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everything has to be Toronto with you guys.
Stanley's playing.
Okay. Zach, before we we're already way off the rails, but where can they find you and where can they listen to your podcast?
So the podcast is, my Twitter handle is as at Bomber Podcast because Brown just got sacked on third down. Oh, my God, for a huge loss. Herdman Reed got him. Oh, good Canadian kid. So the podcast is the Let's Go Bombers podcast. And I'm Let's Go Bombers on Twitter, at Bomber Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And the podcast is on Podbean, but you can find it on Google Play and Apple and Spotify and all those good places. So I started that last September after the Banjo Bowl. I was a little bit inebriated and I thought, hey, I'll go for it. Let's just do it. And you press record on that thing. And I had no idea what I was doing, guys. And it was terrible. Like, and I've told this story, like my mom was like, you were amazing. And like all my buddies were like, hey man, you kudos, you started one. Do you mind if we give you some feedback? It was like, okay, there's lots of feedback, let me tell you. Yeah. So I did that till I got 27 episodes in. Like it was a super fun thing to do, but I was doing it by myself and it took a lot of, you guys know, right? You do the editing, you got to find your own guest and you got to, like, I'm not very techie. So these things they took a lot of time for me. And then I wanted to continue, and I connected with a guy here in Winnipeg named Darren Bombing, who folks may recognize from TSN. And for some reason, like I took a shot in the dark, and I was like, Bomber, hey, do you ever consider like me being on your platform? Because he's got a website and a YouTube page and all that. And it's called Bonfire Sports. And he does a pregame. He started last year when TSN 1290 was turfed by Bell. Nice people, eh, Bell? They just... they had great listenership. It was Winnipeg Sports Radio station, and they turfed them. So Bombing started his own thing called Bonfire Sports. And for whatever reason, he thought, well, you know, this guy doesn't suck too much. And he also didn't like doing it by himself. So here we are. And now I'm on Bonfire Sports with Darren Bombing. So it's bonfiresports.ca. It's I don't know off the top of my head the Twitter handle, but he's at Darren Bombing. You can find us there. So we do a Bombers midweek show on Tuesdays. We're doing Wednesday this week because of the game. And then we do a steamy after dark Darren and Zach post-game show. We did one last week. So yeah, that's been fun. And so that's where you can find me.
Wow, that sounds... Yeah, Darren Bombing's a good guy.
He is a really good guy. Yeah. Go ahead.
I have a question. Is the post-game show, is that after you guys had a few wobbly pops? Well, you said after dark, so I assume...
Yeah. Well, I'll say the only thing that's popping is that we both are big fans of bubbly. Bubbly water. So I would normally absolutely, actually, I'll be honest, I had a few at the game, but I wasn't drinking while we were doing it, only because my son is like 19 months and wakes up quite early, and I didn't want to torture myself because I was already staying late. But there's a great number of craft beers in Winnipeg these days, and some of them you can get at the stadium. So you know, it's a nice place to have a beer. I'll say that much.
Okay.
I'm writing this down as you speak.
Not only do they have the Rum Hut, they have a good selection of craft beers. All right.
Oh, I mean, I know the Rum Hut is legendary, but I avoid it at all costs because you get there in line and it's claustrophobic and you'd miss half the game. But I recognize that it's great for young fans who like to mix it up in there and have a social time, you know?
It's like waiting in line for a 50-50 thing in Edmonton. I mean,
is that right?
Oh yeah. They have, when a few years ago, well, actually now you can buy them on your phone. So it eliminates that. But a couple years ago when they had the 50-50 up to close to like 700,000 or something like that, or some ridiculous number that, damn it. Bombers just picked it off.
Oh, huh. Baby. Is that
number 22? Yeah. I should also disclose that
Taekwondo Glass, nice.
I'm originally from Regina.
No way.
So yep. Yeah. Yes. So I own a share in the Riders, and that was my team for the longest time, and I'm now slightly more Argos than Riders, but I'm still cheer for the Riders. So,
well, I appreciate your full disclosure, and I only like you a little bit less. No, no, I'm kidding. Oh, the pick was just taken off the board, some kind of holding or something, or offside. Ah, too bad. Oh well. Ah, well, it's preseason.
Yeah. So, what do the Bombers look like this year? I mean, we've obviously got your best player came over to us. but what do the Bombers look like this year?
So I was actually talking to Travis Kura today. I finally got on his radar. Probably my beard got long enough and I was on TV and he was like, oh, okay. He's a fellow bearded guy. He's probably not a bad guy. So we were talking and I said, like, before training camp started, we were looking at the depth chart and we thought, you know, this team is just as good as last year. So, and the rest of the West looks, if I may say, a little bit weaker, to be honest. You lost Michael Riley in BC. Bo Levi Mitchell does not like himself. He had two picks in the preseason game. Edmonton, like, who knows? Chris Jones running the show. I mean, who knows who's going to play quarterback? Maybe it's going to be Daron Carter. And then you got the Riders, and then Derek Taylor said it himself, who was pretty much an expert on the Riders, said, you know, they've got some problems there. And Fajardo, you know, he can't figure out Winnipeg. Like, he's had a bunch of cracks at Winnipeg. He can't even score a touchdown on them. So Yeah, well, he did get one in the West final, but you know what I mean, right? So they've lost a lot of talent. So the East is actually stronger, but I think the Bombers are well positioned to battle for first. I'm not like Ryan Ballantyne, love that guy. I'm not going to say they're going to go 18-0 or anything, but they're well positioned. You know, the offense, I think this year is the biggest continuity piece, the biggest strength. You've got Kolaris. By the way, this was a big controversy with me and Darren Bombing. His name is actually Zach Kolaris, not Kolaros. Like, people think the CBA is a big controversy. This is big, right? This is big. And Kolaris, I looked, just because I'm a nerd, I looked up the translation in Greek because I believe he's of Greek background.
Yep.
I don't know how many, you know, generations back. Kolaris means relaxed. Which is cool because he's the least sacked under pressure quarterback in the CFL. So he's just a relaxed dude back there. The guy just has another year in Buck Pierce's offense. And I think he's going to shine again as long as they can keep him healthy. But they've got pretty much the same intact O-line from last year. That's a championship O-line. And I know I'm a homer, but I think that's pretty much agreed upon in the CFL. This O-line is championship. We did leave. We lost Drew Desjarlais to... as a futures pick to the New England Patriots. It looks like though he's going to make the team, but we've got Jeff Gray to step in, who's been there a few years, who's a real good player. And then you've got Liam Dobson, who we thought we lost, but then, you know, that whole thing with the visa and the money issues in the USFL, there's Liam Dobson to back him up. And then, you know, you talk about losing our best player and hey, throw shade on Winnipeg for that. I mean, I get why Andrew Harris wasn't re-signed. I didn't like how it went down. I think, I will say, I think Harris was a little bit childish and petulant about it, but I do think that he had a lot going on in his life. He unfortunately had a separation and he had some injury issues. So I'm not going to throw shade on Harris. He's a Ring of Honor guy. He brought us back to the apogee there in Bomberland, you know, back-to-back champs. But I will say our running game, I think, is going to be okay. Like, I think Oliveira and Augustine cost the same amount of money combined as Harris. And they both have a big upside. I think it's going to be running back by committee. My personal favorite is Augustine. He had a nice, sparkly 7.2-yard average per carry. And I know that's just one stat. You have to put it in context. But 7.2 is 7.2. And then last game in the preseason, he had a 9-yard average. So the guy has burst. Apparently, he's carved out of marble, and he eats like a rabbit, and he's humble. So he's got, you know, he's the full package there. So I look for him. He can catch out of the backfield. Then you got, you know, you look at receiver, and cut me off if I'm rambling on too long, gentlemen. Sticking with offense, I think at receiver, you know, of course, we lost Darvin Adams, and I think he was supplanted as a number one by Kenny Lawler. Still think $300,000 is a lot to pay a receiver. You know, that's Milt Stegall level, and he ain't Milt Stegall, at least not yet. So especially when you don't know who's throwing him the ball. But so Darvin Adams was supplanted. But Darvin Adams, as you remember, as I'm sure you guys were gleefully watching that Grey Cup and watching the Hamilton Tiger Cats implode, had the overtime touchdown. He's a tremendous blocker, and he's a tremendous locker room guy. So that is a loss. He's a veteran, but, you know, they lost Kenny Lawler, but then they get Greg Ellingson. And Greg Ellingson, he had a bit of a down year last year, but, like, who was throwing him the ball? Mr. Heavy Ball, Taylor Cornelius? Like, the guy didn't have a quarterback, and he still had almost 600 yards in 14 games. So I think Ellingson is going to be a slam dunk with Kolaris. They have that background from Hamilton in 14. And, you know, again, a game that you guys were probably like partying after because the game was stolen from the Ticats by Taylor Reed and that block in the back. Right. Right. I thought Argo fans were just like, it would be like the 13th man for Bomber fans. It's like we won the Grey Cup.
Viva Taylor Reed. Could have won the cup, but you fucked it up.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny because his nickname was Tank and he tanked it. But anyway, I digress. Listen, so you've got Ellingson, and then we had that issue with Sean Saunders. You know, he was kind of always going to be Jalen Saunders. He was sort of a sexy prospect because, and I say that in a football sense, gentlemen, like he had that history with Kolaris, right, in Hamilton. Saunders was a stud receiver. He could take the top off, but I think two things happened. one is less important. The less important thing is people watching him in training camp said he didn't really have it. He wasn't jumping out. He was struggling. And number two, he was charged with a really heinous crime. So the Bombers let him go. So that being said, you have some guys that will maybe step up. So, of course, you've got Ellingson, and then you've still got your Nick Dembski, the Canadian Swiss Army knife. You've got Drew Walutarski, who's a clutch Canadian receiver. And then you got Rashid Bailey, who your own Josh Burton, who we stole from you as our new videographer, told me Rashid Bailey was highly sought. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. Anyway, whatever. He's only 29. I'm 38. I've got two kids and I've got like 100 pounds on him. What's he going to do? Good guy, though. I met him for some beers and really nice guy. Josh said Rashid Bailey was highly sought after if he was going to hit the free agent market. And he's just really popped Bailey. So it leaves us with one spot to fill. So I think I'll finish my rant on offense and you guys can get a word in. I would say our returner specialist, Janarian Grant, is going to, he had some time with the ones. So he's the guy, if he can, you know, become a receiver, kind of like Lucky Whitehead did, unfortunately, after his time with the Bombers, that could be interesting. Blake Jackson, number 81, has shown great in camp. Dalton Schoen, we were talking about. There's Brendan O'Leary Orange, who bombing things could even push Walutarski. So there's some guys there that are going to – I'm not concerned about offense. I think offense is going to be the strength of the team, at least at the beginning of the year.
O'Leary Orange.
Son of – thank you, Gregory Liverpool, who's one of our super fans. Son of one Doyle Orange. Do you recognize that name, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, he was an Argonaut.
Running back.
Yeah, so he's got some pedigree. Anyway, so I think we're going to be fine on off. You guys want me to keep buzzing about this, or do you want to jump in with anything? I can go on for hours, as my wife will tell you.
We kind of got that.
I could talk about special teams and defense next, but go.
I was going to ask. I mean, you guys are, you know, a year removed from the retirement of Justin Medlock. And it did not seem like you guys found the answer last year in that side. Do you think you have it this year?
Oh, man. Like, that is the number one concern with the Bombers this year, I would say. Ali Mortada was a disaster. I'm not saying that personally. The guy, he's got a great story. He's from a war-torn country. He works really hard. He was humiliated last year. He was booed off the field by the Bombers, and then he got his job taken away. I'm talking about our place kicker, by of course, Sergio Castillo, who then went to the Elks. But he was awful. Like, I think he had a 50% average. He could kick it dead straight, but he couldn't kick on the wider hash marks. Funny enough, he took five balls down to Arizona, where he lives in the offseason, to practice his heart out. And he was kicking on the wider hash marks, and then they changed the hash marks on him. So he comes back. But, you know, apparently he was looking good in camp. I couldn't make that much of training camp this year. But then, folks, like the one, he did hit a couple point afters, but then he dinged one off the post in our preseason game on Friday, which was concerning. He's got a really good kickoff average. He kicks it quite deep, but his punts were kind of wobbly. So here's an interesting thing with special teams. So I'm not sure about him. That's like one of my biggest questions today is this guy going to get it together? And I hope he does. But we've got an interesting kicking situation because we've got two things. One, we've got a second-year punter, but also place kicker, Mark Leggio, who holds the record in U Sports at 92% accuracy. But he's a young kid, right? So last year, I think it was tough for him to adjust. When you're a kicker, you're kind of on an island. If it doesn't go and it's a makeable kick, like you wear goat horns. But his punting was pretty good. He can place kick. He was doing some kickoffs last game, but he primarily was our punter last year. Oh, Ryder has just fumbled. All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
I wasn't going to mention it.
Who got that 49? Sorry, I got to talk about it later, so I'm trying to figure out. Corey Strotter. Sorry. So, Leggio, but here's the interesting thing. I was listening to Ed Tate today. He's our, well, you guys probably know Ed Tate. He's the senior writer for BlueBombers.com. Spent years in the newspaper business. He's our Michael. By the way, I love Mike. I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to share some love about the Argos and Mike Hogan in a few minutes. But yeah, he's a legend, Hall of Famer. He was talking about how Tom Hackett is a guy that they actually have on their roster. But after all the CBA shenanigans, he's like, screw this. I'm going back to Utah. Like, I'm not going to wait in Winnipeg and not know if I'm going to have a job. So he's still in Utah, but hopefully coming back because he won something called the Ray Guy Award, which I don't know what the Ray Guy Award is. The best punter in NCAA.
And yeah, Ray Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Do Ray you know Guy. The history on that?
Ray Guy was the first, like, punter in the NFL to make the Hall, I think. Like, he was.
Oh, is that open, right?
Yeah.
Like, look at you, man. Props. That's a good factoid.
Yeah.
Nice. So Hackett apparently looked really good because he's one of these, I think he's an Aussie guy. And so he was hitting some real weird kind of wonky punts that were good punts that Ed Tate was saying, like, those are hard punts to catch. Like, they're like topsy-turvy kind of sidewinder things. So what Ed was saying was that if Hackett comes back and he's good at punting, he's not a place kicker, I don't think, then you could look at actually Leggio being our place kicker, which would put Murtada out of a job. So it's interesting in terms of return game, like the kicking game is a huge concern. We don't win that Grey Cup without Sergio Castillo, and it's not even close. He was the MVP. It was a windy day. He hit all his five field goals, including that clutch one at the end. I think it was like a bit high 40s, early 50s length field goal. And he got a bunch of, you know, he got a bunch of single points, which I'm sure you guys were gleeful about, especially that one to Tim White at the end. I got to tell you, at that Grey Cup, I've never heard anything like it. There was like this, I don't know if you can quantify the sound of deflation amongst 20,000 fans. But it was literally like the air was let out of a balloon when Tim White took the single to make it a 3-point game. It was unbelievable. But anyway, you guys were probably like,
I was laughing. I was laughing.
I was rolling. Yeah, I was laughing too.
I refused to watch.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No, how come?
You never really like,
are you throwing shade on the peg or what?
No, I was pissed off in the week before.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
You know.
Yeah.
You never want to see a quarterback take off in the preseason. I gotta
know.
As an aside,
I love that we're watching this game together and just chopping it up about football. So Hackett's interesting. The return game for the Bombers is fine. I think we've got Janarian Grant back there. We've got a, you know, as you can imagine, with someone like Mike O'Shea, who's a former special teams coach in the Big Smoke, of course, won a Grey Cup 2012 with you guys. He, you know, he knows special. And as a player, of course, what, three times, right?
Yep.
So the return game is going to be fine. We have like these stud Canadians like Shane Gauthier and Tanner Cadwallader, and of course the killer Mike Miller, who are studs on the return. So I'm not concerned about that. But I don't know if you guys want to jump in, but like honestly, the defense is where I'm concerned, which is kind of ironic when you talk about the Bombers because of that incredible defense they had last year. But like Brandon Alexander, who's a stud safety and kind of the captain of that defense back there, along with Adam Big Hill, he's injured probably till the Banjo Bowl, so Labor Day. And then Mercy Mastin went down, who's our dime, who's our Sam linebacker. And unfortunately, that happened to him in 21 as well. So that is quite concerning, especially with the hash marks changing. There could be a lot more space over there. And you've now got a dime back. I believe they put in Donald Rutledge Jr., who's a rookie to the CFL anyway. And that's concerning. And then Winston Rose was in a walking boot, the all-star cornerback, part of that winning Grey Cup interception. And he was in a walking boot, although Ed Tate says he'll be fine. But We also lost, last thing I'll say is we lost Steven Richardson, who was a massive run stopper. So the Bombers, actually, it's funny, when they played, like, you guys were the only ones that beat us straight up last year.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
And it was for two reasons, I think. One, we just didn't show, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make the excuse. You guys outplayed us, you out-hustled us, you out-physicaled us, and you ran the ball down our throat. And that was before Kyrie Wilson, who's our will linebacker, who's a very underrated guy, and Steven Richardson were there. So you guys, like, owned us on the run game. And if you'll remember, it was a 7-point game. And then the last play, the last meaningful play of the game for the Argos is we had you backed up with a chance to get the ball back when we didn't even deserve it. And I believe it was DJ Foster who, like, just ripped off a 40-yarder on us. So, you know, I'm concerned about that because you lose Steven Richardson. Now your Sam linebacker is a kind of relatively unknown, and that's a guy who has to play the box. And the defensive tackles there, Ricky Walker and Casey Sales, they're both second-year guys, but, you know, they're not a Steven Richardson, at least not yet. So there's some concern there on the defense. But, of course, you still got the Jeffs there, right? You've still got one of my favorite players, Jake Thomas, at Fatboy, just greatest Twitter handle out there. And so, you know, we'll see. I think the defense could be exploited at the beginning of the season, at least till Alexander comes back, and this Rutledge guy, if he can be at least average, I think they'll be okay. And I'll stop my rant at that, because I'm even getting sick of listening to myself.
Well, we've now got a whole scouting report, so we're pretty good now.
Yeah, you guys will beat us twice and beat us in the Grey Cup. By the way, we've never beaten the Argos in the Grey Cup.
Nope, ever. You have not. And I think the average score for both sides is like 35-3.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's wow. Yeah, because the Bombers have only scored like maybe 10 points against us, and we've put double digits. Like multiple double digits on the Bomber. So it's like, so basically if it ever comes down to an Argos Bombers Grey Cup, I'm thinking, well, here we go, 7-0. So
it hasn't happened since 1950.
Is that right? 1950. Wow.
It's the last time the Argos in Winnipeg played in the Grey Cup.
Against the Argos.
Mm-hmm. Mud Bowl.
Oh, that's the Mud Bowl. I love you guys know your history, man. I'm impressed.
I can name every Grey Cup champion since 19 something or other.
Don't let him start it. Please, God.
You and Gregory Liverpool should talk. He's our resident Steve Daniel. Like, he'll be on the show with Bombing and I, and someone will say something about, well, case in point, the whole Doyle Orange thing. It came up, and one of the guys in the chat was like, isn't he the son of a player or something? And then like 5 minutes later, Greg Liverpool's on. He's like, Doyle Orange.
Doyle Orange.
Stats. You know, like, I love it. Well, hey, you and I will, I'll do a pop quiz with you sometime. But I have to tell you guys, I was actually, just because of that, like, horrible record against the Argos, we were kind of relieved when the Ticats beat you. One, because we, you know, there is that history, right? And two, we knew that we could own Dane Evans. We knew that he couldn't move the ball on us from the last Grey Cup. I think we knew they had his number. And early in that game, the guy was like, I don't know what his completion percentage was, but it was below 50% with an interception. And then, of course, what's his name? Masoli coming in. That hurt us. But anyway, I'll stop talking again.
Now, we do have to ask you about Andrew Harrison. What you jerks?
Salt in the wound. Come on.
Well, okay, we have to see you. You know, you graciously allowed us to steal Andrew Harris for a lot cheaper than he probably should have gone for. But what should Argo fans kind of expect out of Andrew Harris? I mean, both on the field. I mean, we can pretty much have a good idea, but even off the field and stuff like that, you know, you probably, you know a little bit more about his interactions in the community.
Yeah. It, It's interesting. And again, I'll preface it by saying Andrew Harris is an absolute hero in Winnipeg, and he always will be. Honestly, he could go on like, I don't know, like a carjacking spree on Church Street down there, and he'd still be in the Ring of Honor. Like, there's a lot of bad. That was a terrible example, Zach. Come on. But anyway, he's amazing. He's amazing with the fans. You know, like I have a buddy, Don. He's called Sign Guy. He heckles the other team. He's right down at the other team's bench at IG Field, and he has TSN signs every time with different creative names. Just an absolute legend. He reached out to Harris to get some of his stuff signed because he's a big collector. And Harris sat with him for like a half an hour and signed all his stuff. Like, he's huge in the community. He has a foundation. He's a good dude. He's really big in the business community here. So there's that side of him. But then there's the other side with the drug scandal. And he, as much as I hate to believe that that happened, he never did show evidence that he didn't have, that he had, that it was tainted, right? And I know that's a complex thing, right? But that happened. And then, to be fair, here's a story that a lot of people don't know about Harris, and I'm not throwing shade on him. I think he has a complicated life. Like, we all know he had a tough early life. Didn't know his dad. Had a single parent. Didn't have a lot of money. He ran with the wrong crowd, and one of those guys where football really saved his life. Had a kid when he was pretty young, so he's had an adverse life. And given what he's been through, he's an absolutely amazing guy. I do know that when he came to Winnipeg in 16, for whatever reason, he admitted this. This was an interview with him, and he said his head wasn't in the game. He was back in Winnipeg, back with his daughter, back with his old crowd. He's got a really tight group of buddies. And it got to the point where he just didn't show enough commitment. And O'Shea sat him down and said, dude, like, are you in? Are you out? Which is like, I was shocked when I heard that. But so, I mean, there's some stuff there, but that seemed to all be behind him. He had this, like, he just took off in Winnipeg. He put that team on his back. He's an amazing guy. But then this whole sort of messy breakup, it kind of taints him. A lot of fans were upset with him because I think he got his P's and Q's straight after he sort of said the right things. But at the beginning, he was kind of throwing shade on Kyle Walters and saying, oh, they left me out to dry and it was disrespectful based on what I've done for that team. And O'Shea didn't talk to me and all these things. You guys know Mike O'Shea. Like, he is. He may make the media's life miserable because he doesn't like to answer questions. But his character is absolutely impeccable. Like, I say that. I don't know for sure. I've never, like, talked to him or had a beer with him. But would that be fair to say?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Absolutely. Nobody's in the same league as Pinball, but he's in the level below it. Right. You know, he could get promoted to the league above him, but, you know, he's not quite Pinball level, but he's right up there. Like,
yeah,
one of the greatest guys.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
One of the best football guys I've ever met. And he just loves Canadian football.
Oh, and isn't that the best? Right. When you and that's the Bombers have just really, and you've got that with Pinball, right? But it's such a nice feeling to know management, whether you win or lose, like, these guys just live, eat, and breathe Canadian football, right? Anyway, just to get back to Harris, like, so if he's throwing shade on O'Shea and you know, characterizing that way, and I get Harris was really pinched at that moment, and we all say stuff we don't mean when we're hurt, and I think he was hurt. I think he expected to get the 180,000 and the starter's job. He didn't. And, you know, he was hurt. But I will say this, like, he admitted he wasn't in shape. He got injured. He didn't at the beginning of the 2021 season. And there's a rumor in Bomberland that he got into some kind of, like, sort of reckless, like, four wheeler accident in the summer in the COVID year. He didn't take it seriously, his rehab. So he got injured in training camp on the first day in 21. And then he comes back for a bit, and then he gets injured again really quickly. And then if you saw him come back, like, he ripped the Riders in the 2021 West final. Like, he basically won that game for us. But then as your own Nataya Jay, and I love a Nataya Jay. I had him on my podcast. You guys are lucked out with him. He said that it's often the second game where if something's still nagging at you, it'll show up. And I think in the Grey, like, I do think Jagera Davis and that defensive front in Hamilton stuffed Harris pretty well. But I think I don't think he was 100% in that game because he just didn't have the same burst. So I don't think he took – I think he had some personal stuff going on. It's complicated. Nothing's black and white. But I don't think he handled it great. And I'm sure he regrets some of the things he said. And it seems like he kind of walked it back later. But as to your second part of your question, what do you want to see from him? I think Andrew Harris plays the best. And you guys know this when he has a chip on his shoulder. So Wally Buono, let him go. And he was pissed. He's always had a chip on his shoulder, even since he was a kid. Yeah. And so he's going to have that chip on his shoulder. And so that will help him. I think Ryan Dinwiddie is an excellent coach. I think Jay said that. Josh Burton said, no, Dinwiddie's a good coach. And then, you know, your O-line, from what I know from last year, it was kind of middling in terms of opening holes in the run. But if they can take the next level and you've got a creative offense, I think we know Harris can catch out of the backfield. He just didn't do it last year because he didn't play much. And Zach Caleros has onions the size of, I don't know, and just loves to throw it deep. See, he's not the Matt Nichols checkdown specialist where Harris got, like, you know, he beat Craig Ellis in the receptions record that year, right? So I think he'll be good. You know, to be honest, guys, it's not going to be his attitude. He's a great guy. He has a chip on his shoulder. He has the heart of three Lions. He has a heart of a pride of Lions. It's just his health. And I think that's going to determine what you see in Andrew Harris, to be honest. But for his sake, unless he's burning us, I hope he has a fantastic year.
So do we.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even when he's burning you.
You know what? Even if he is, guys, there'll be a part of me that doesn't mind too much. The guy deserves all the best.
All right, Zach. Well, we could probably keep going for a long, long, long time with you because it just seems to work. That just seems to be working that way. But so we've got some other things that we've got to talk about. So we're going to let you go.
One more thing, though, guys?
All right.
Yeah. And I'm not saying this to hear myself talk, although, you know, I don't get to talk a lot at home. I have a wife and two kids. I will say this, and this is really, I mean this from the heart. I am so effing sick of people throwing shade at Argo fans. It makes me sick. And it's not only that, it's so stupid. We need Toronto to have a rich and vibrant fan base. You got, like, I've lived in Toronto twice. People don't understand that when the average sports lover, sports fan has like five or six different options, it's not like Winnipeg where you watch the Jets in the winter and you watch the Bombers in the summer. It's not the same. You don't have the same advertising. And there's a lot of things that have been mismanaged. But I will tell you, there is a, like you three, there is a huge, loyal, diehard, passionate fan base, a smaller one maybe, but you guys rock. I follow like Argo Fluffy and some of those guys, and Mike Hogan is absolutely A+. Nataya Jay, you've got you three, you guys have two podcasts. Here, the rest of the CFL is like, oh, Argo fans. I'm like, by the way, they're like the only ones with two podcasts. With X's and Argos, Ben Grant is an absolute wizard. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys have some serious, like, Argos admirals, right? You used to have the Argo notes. I mean, the Argos are a historic franchise, and it's so stupid. It pisses me off when people throw shade at you. And I commend you for being, you know, you have so many different things to choose from, so many ways to spend your money. Toronto's an expensive place to live. Even Kitchener probably is getting up there. And you guys still bring it. You know, and I just wish people would support the Argo fans that are passionate rather than throwing shade at Toronto just because, like, they're jealous of Toronto. Honestly, like, and it's the same thing with the Leafs. Oh, everybody, oh, they always talk about the Leafs. Like, get over it, man.
The Leafs are a lolcow. You can always milk them for laughs. It doesn't really matter what they do all the time.
It's like, oh, they could win in the first round. Oh, you can't get past the second. You know,
that's right. No, they're full of my father-in-law in particular, because his brothers live in Toronto. He just loves when the Leafs lose. But I'll leave you guys on that, and I just want to say, like, awesome work on the podcast. I listen when I can, and keep being great Argo fans, man. Like, it is a historic franchise. It's the winningest, not the winningest franchise. Do you guys have more Grey Cups than Edmonton, right?
We got more Grey Cups than anybody.
Yep, most in the league.
More Grey Cups than anybody. So screw everybody else. Keep doing what you're doing, and go beat the crap out of the East and the rest of the West, except for us. And let's meet in the Grey Cup, and let's see what happens.
All right. So I think we've now cemented your second appearance on our show at some point, and probably third with that.
Possibly well, fourth. Maybe fifth.
All right.
We appreciate that, and then. And then when you're in Toronto next time, if you're in for a game, or even if you're just passing through, let us know. We'll
take you out for a drink. Man. Oh, I would love it. I love me some Mill Street. So that's what we used to drink in grad school. We drank way too much Mill Street. So you guys take care. Have a great show. Right. And we'll talk again. Maybe get you on Bonfire at some point.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Zach.
Okay, gentlemen. All right. Good night.
And that was Zach Schnitzer.
Schnitzer.
Smith, I got it right that time.
I like him.
Me too.
Yeah.
Good guy. Great guy. Great fucking guy.
And I liked him before he started kissing our ass at the end.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, well, we're not going to kiss our own ass. Oh, we've got a game coming up on Friday in Guelph. Last preseason game.
That was not a great throw.
Well, I mean, we've got to get to. We can't just go on and on.
We've let the Bombers dig completely set us off course here.
Yes, let's get on with it before I fall.
Let's do a hard to starboard and get this boat back on course.
I didn't sleep well last night, so I could doze off at any point.
Okay, so Friday night we've got the last preseason game in Guelph. Yep.
The weather will be much more pleasant.
Yeah, weather looks really
visit
nice.
Visit the Guelph Griffins website to get tickets.
Yes, don't look on the... Go to the Griffins website. If you're looking to come to the game, go to their website. The Argos, like Ticketmaster, has got nothing to do with this. So basically, all the U Sports teams have their own ticket platform, and because it's being held at a U Sports venue, they're using their ticket platform. So go to the Guelph Griffins Athletics site to get tickets.
So, and you know, this game, I think we're just looking to see some of our starters play a little bit, McLeod, Bethel, Thompson, to get in some meaningful reps, and hopefully nobody gets hurt.
Yep. Rhythm on offense. I'd like to see some rhythm on offense. Uh-oh.
Absolutely.
What's the uh-oh for?
What's the uh-oh for?
I muted the thing, don't worry.
No.
Baseball is again, isn't it?
No, it wasn't baseball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now I don't want to know.
All right.
Riders from the 4-yard line. They hand it off up the middle. First down, Saskatchewan. Out to the 16-yard line is the running back, number 20. Glenn Suter's calling this game. Glenn Suter is a former Rider safety, and it's like the most homer.
No. Glenn Suter went the complete opposite when he started calling games. He was the most anti-Ryder guy out there to try and prove that he's
Both
not.
Ryder fans think that.
Well, we believe it.
Yeah.
but I'm convinced that Glenn Suter dyes his hair.
Well, he's probably in his 50s now.
60s.
Oh.
I think.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's up there, yeah.
Frankie Hickson from Liberty University.
Yeah. And if anybody's looking for those tickets, griffins.ca, you can go get your tickets there. And that you know, come join us. It's nice venue for football. Going to be a nice night.
Yes. Hopefully not a lot of mosquitoes.
No, hopefully not, because they are showing up now. Well, with that, I mean, the stellar preview of the game coming up on Friday. It's a preseason game, so.
Who cares?
Who cares? We just want to see some people perform well. Yeah. Game's made up. Points don't matter.
Just want to see a little less rust on the team, you know. Get the lubricant out and let's get the creaks out the system and let's go kick some ass.
Yeah. Sarah Lasky.
Yeah, she does the Winnipeg and usually over Regina if what's the girl's name? Claire Hanna's not available.
Claire Hanna's in Ottawa now.
Oh, well, see the
Senators.
Okay, also, well, there you go.
Didn't she do the pregame last week?
Yes, with Mel Stegall.
Kate's at the Grand Prix in Monaco.
Oh, pardon me.
And
I
then
think they had like a hotel room that overlooked the.
Yeah, that's a nice track.
Yeah. I mean, Monaco's the size of what? Not very big place.
No, it's not.
It's honestly Monaco's best street circuit in all of racing, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, you've got apartments and things that are literally just hanging over top of the course. It's fantastic. Next time we got Marsh, we're gonna have to ask him, because he's an F1 guy, where his favorite street course is in all of F1, because I'm sure he'll have an opinion on that.
Yeah, his favorite track. Yeah, mine kind of got remodeled. My favorite back in the day was the old Hockenheim in Germany. Because you had the little windy bit right at the beginning of the course.
Yep.
But then it was just balls out all the way out into the black, and I'm sure the black forest, but all the way out in the forest.
Yeah.
All the way back. That was growing up. That was my favorite.
You know what? I don't remember. I haven't watched F1 for a while, and I don't remember a whole lot from when I did. So,
I kind of lost interest after Schoenfeld left.
Well, since we're way, 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 way over time and off the rails, Doug, it's time for the 3-minute warning.
3 minutes. All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
There's not going to be a hell of a lot this week. There was a... I know our guest touched on this, but our old friend of the show, Josh McGee, posted something on Reddit here. And some people consider it a hot take. I don't think it's a hot take. I think it's dead on exactly what it is. And it says, Toronto Argonauts fans are the best fans in the CFL, and it's not even close.
All right.
Yeah, so here's... So here's the post in its entirety, and I'll try to keep it quick. I already heard some of you laughing at the title of this post from thousands of kilometers away, and some of you may be tempted to say the Riders or the Bombers are the best fans. But here is some food for thought. Imagine you are me. You grew up in an area where people don't even know the CFL exists. The ones that do know of its existence mock you endlessly for not liking quote-unquote real sports. You have nobody to share the highs and lows with unless you're physically at the games or happen to have a relative who remembers the glory days from before you existed. Then you hop online to try to talk football, but fellow CFL fans across the country constantly bash you for not personally filling the stands with people as if that's your job. Then another contingent hate you just because quote unquote elitist Toronto. Even though you are literally the antithesis of the typical Torontonian who is enamored with being quote-unquote world-class. Then there's the contingent who thinks anytime Toronto is successful, it was deliberately rigged by the league, so even in moments of football joy, there are people trying to bring us down. Hamilton. Sorry, that was an aside. You'd think we get...
Wait. If anybody didn't catch the cough, he said Hamilton.
Yeah. Hi, cats. Oh, sorry. It's dusty in my place.
Yeah.
You think we get more support from our fellow CFL family for supporting the CFL in this cosmopolitan city, but only rarely does it happen. Then, to top things off, ownership seemingly treats the Argos as an afterthought. It's hard to look at what MLSE is doing with other properties and say that they're putting the same effort into the Argos as they do with TFC, the Raptors, and the Leafs. To this day, you still can't buy a Bolt logo hat or sticker anywhere, and there's almost zero unearned media presence for the Argos in the GTA. And yet, despite all this nonsense and borderline abuse, the hardcore still come out year after year. We are mocked by all who aren't us, but we're still in the stands rocking the double blue. Quite frankly, it's a miracle that there are still this many of us left. These are big reasons why new fans aren't showing up or sticking around. It's easy being a Riders fan. You have a whole province encouraging you to get behind the team, and there's ownership that actually cares. If you are mocked for being a Riders fan, at least it's a football-related chirp, and you can talk football. The day I can say the word Argos without having to talk about all the people that don't know or don't care about the CFL will be a great day. And now there's a little aside to this. I'm sure some Lions and Alouettes fans can relate to some of this. It's not as bad there, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were fans my age with similar experiences in those markets. To you, I have the utmost respect.
Amen.
A freaking men.
And from somebody who's crossed over, there was not a shred of untruth in that.
No, there isn't.
But actually, no. There is a shred of untruth in one thing that was said in there. While you may not be able to go a lot of places and find the boat logo on things, as of like 3 days ago or something like that, you can now buy the boat logo on a couple things at Real Sports.
He probably hasn't seen that yet.
I have boat logo shit.
Yeah, but it's from the 1980s, Will.
No, it's the new hat. I've had it for a couple of years. I have a hoodie with the new logo, not bought from one ping.
not bought from the bootleg guy in the Beamer Field parking lot.
Give me a ping with chili, just one ping only, please.
Can I take that ping and throw him in the fucking lake?
Can he respond with a single ping?
Yeah. as long as he's drowning, yeah.
The question is, will he?
If he's drowning, probably not. But anyway, let's move on. So there's not. Like, for everything else that was in that, there's nothing, like, it's just amen. That's all I gotta say.
Yep.
Okay, another thing. I don't know who took over for Adam Kruger for the social media stuff, but I really like what they're putting out. I mean, the candid stuff at training camp. This is like, it's some really good stuff that's there.
Yeah,
I know we fawn over the social media aspect of the team. We've done that for the last 2-3 years, but I mean, this is with a new person behind the keyboard, and they're, from what I've seen so far, they're carrying on.
And the one thing that I, you know, respecting is they're not trying to be Adam.
No, I mean
they're working to their strengths and what they know how to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're not quite going to be able to catch the wit and the memes that Adam did, but, you know, they're still putting out.
Well, let's wait till the regular season before we get to that.
Yeah.
Because if they start putting out really good stuff, I'm going to be all over it like a fat kid on a cupcake.
Yeah.
And I think we'll end it off with some good old tweets from Kazakhstan. Okay, so the Argos on May 30th put out one of the coaches, Marcus Grandison, singing 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. which is great, because the entire team got in on it as well. Our friend from Kazakhstan says, I'm waiting for a tour of Kazakh music. That would be interesting to see.
Throat singing.
That's they Mongolian. They use
throat singing there.
You sure it's throat singing? I thought it was, because I thought that was more of a Mongolian thing.
Yeah, I think it's more of a Mongolian thing.
Oh, they do some throat singing there too.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sadly, my favorite from him this week was one that is just a gif. Where there's a Twitter handle, We Still Tailgate, they mentioned something about tailgating, and he replied with a yak drawn rickety carriage with a whole bunch of people standing on the back of it. And two yaks.
See, yak, gum your grandmother's wheat thins.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was a Karnak thing.
My exclamation remains.
Oh, and with that does it for this show this week. We want to thank Zach
Schnitzer,
Zach Schnitzer, for joining us from the Let's Go Bombers podcast. And God damn it, the Riders fumbled again.
The Riders suck.
All right, Will.
Where can they? It's 3-0. 1:18 left in the second quarter.
I'm blaming you, Zach.
This game is a captivating experience of Canadian football.
Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook at facebook.com/DoubleBlueOrder, on Twitter at Double Blue Order, on Instagram at The Double Blue Order. You can get your Double Blue Order merch, including the Law Firm t-shirt, doublebluorder.ca.
Will, where can they find you? Apparently not on this podcast. Will.
Wake up, Will. We're almost done here.
Oh, the Blue Jays did something stupid on the base path. You can find me at Argo Fans or at www.argofans.com.
And I'm Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. Well, that does it this week on the Fancast. We'll talk to you next week when we have both the greatest time of the year and the worst time of the year. And then the greatest, it goes back and forth. We'll talk to you next week. Yeah.